I've taught a couple lessons in Nanuet, and I just really feel strongly impressed to share it here. Not, you know, I mean, it could have gone a different direction, but I just feel impressed to share some thoughts today, and maybe the next time I'm up in a week or so, continue it. But I keep hearing and have heard this, and it's still there. The Holy Ghost had put one word in my heart, and that word was focus. And I think, you know, when I look at all that's going on, and in just general in our life, things can happen, you know, that cause us to get our focus off what's important and get us distracted on things that have no eternal value. I'm not saying that we shouldn't think about certain things. I'm not saying we shouldn't focus on certain things, because we have family, we have responsibilities, we have children, we have jobs to go to, we have responsibilities. So we have to focus on certain things. But those things, if those things that we focus on get us derailed or distracted from things that are absolutely important, then we're off track. We've gotten off track. We've gotten distracted, and we need to correct it. And I think sometimes the Holy Ghost needs to say, wait a minute, what are you focused on? What are you setting your mind and your thoughts are? You know, think about this. The things that you focus on, you know, let me use Minister Joe or anybody I can use. But if I focus on him, if I set my attention on him, then I'm not thinking about anything else. I mean, you could be a husband and wife. If you set your attention on that spouse, you're not thinking about anybody else. Your attention, your focus, your gaze is what? On them. And it should be, because if it's not, something's wrong, right? So I'm just saying that when your focus is on things that are not of God, then it gets all out of whack. It gets off base, and we're distracted. Because your solution to all the things that you need answers to is going to come from God. So that's the thing. You know, you say, well, aren't I supposed to think? Yeah, you're supposed to think about those things. But what does the scripture say in Proverbs? It said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and do what? Lean not to your own understanding. That means, you know, don't get so wrapped up in what you're focused on that you're not thinking about him. You're not setting your gaze and your thoughts about God. Because then it's off base, and we've gotten off track. And that's all I'm sharing, that the Holy Ghost is reminding me, and I believe he wants to remind all of us, that we need to focus on those things that are important. Because I can tell you, he died for people, and he died so that people, and if we get so wrapped up in the things that are important to us, you know, they can be a whole lot of different things. I mean, they run the gamut, you know. I mean, it can be children, it can be family, it can be whatever. It can be marriage things, you know, whatever they are. They can get you so focused on that that you wake up and you're not even thinking about him, or you're not spending enough time. That's, I think, where I'm coming from. So the things that got me to thinking about this is that your affections, what you focus on is what you think about. And you've heard this, what you think about is what you're going to meditate on, and what you end up focusing and meditating on, it gets down in your heart. And when it gets down in your heart, what happens. If you want to know, you know, I always say this, if you want to know what somebody's thinking about, talk to them for a few minutes. Just talk to them a few minutes, and they'll let you know what they're really focused on. They'll tell you. It'll come right out of their mouth. Because that's they've been thinking about it so much, it's gotten down here, and they talk about it. And when you begin to talk about something, it begins to steer the thoughts and things that you do. You focus on it. And so I think sometimes it's just good to sit down and say, what am I really focused on? Does it have any value other than just it's temporary? You know, I remember Pastor Sarah used to say, if you live long enough, you may not be going through some stuff. You know, you may be, maybe, you know, you're young and you haven't gone through as much as somebody who's older. But if you live long enough, you're going to go through some things. You're going to go through some things. And you need to just think about it. So what it does is those things that capture our attention, really, if you think about it, if it affects your faith. It affects your faith in God. Because faith is what? Faith is the substance, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of something not seen. So if you're just talking about stuff that you see, then it's not faith. Faith is something you're believing or speaking of something you don't have yet. So if you're walking through stuff, you should be trusting and believing God for something you don't have yet. That pleases God. Not talking about, this is going on and this is going on and this is going on. And then you might say, okay, I understand that. And there's nothing, I'll say it this way, there's nothing wrong with saying something that's happening, except you need to put a but at the end of it and say, but I believe God that he's changing this. So it's okay to say, you know, I'm walking through this, something going on in my body or something going on in my family, but God is working in the midst of it. See? That's what I'm talking about. That's faith talking. And faith, just think about it. You know, this is a Bible lesson here, but just think about what faith is. Mark 11:22 or Matthew 21:21. You can go back and look at them. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Verse 23, it tells you what faith is. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall what? Not doubt in his heart. And you know the rest of the verse. But say those things that they believe, or believe those things that you say, and you'll have what you say. So we're to talk about things that we believe. We're to speak to obstacles, speak to mountains, not just invite them in and camp out. Or another way to talk about or say it is, we're not to sit there and talk about the problem. We're to do what? Speak to the problem in faith. And that's, you know, where I'm coming from today in just a few minutes, just sharing some thoughts, that our affections or our attention should be heavenly. Heavenly affections and heavenly attention. And sometimes our focus gets so absorbed in something that we forget who lives in us. We forget that God loves me, he lives in me, and we forget that. We get consumed in a problem. And we think God, as they say, went to Jamaica. You know, God falling off his throne. God's not even thinking about me. Oh, woe is me. And we wring our hands and we're absorbed in the problem and we forget, but wait a minute. God lives in me. He hears every word I say. He hears all of my moaning and complaining, all of my griping and complaining. And he's just sitting there probably saying, I wonder when they're going to come and ask me for help. When they going to come? And just approach me and say, you know, I'm going through all of this. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows you're complaining. He's just looking for you to do what? Exercise faith, because without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is what? A rewarder of those that just sit by and mumble and complain. No, you got to seek him. You got to approach him. You got to talk to him. You got to have fellowship and communion with him. And be patient. This is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is what? The confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything, what? According to his will, he ignores me. No, he said it. He hears me. And if I know that he hears me, whatsoever I ask, I have the petitions that I've desired of him. So that means if I approach him in faith and ask him something that's part of the covenant that he's in with me, then he hears me. And what does that mean? He's working on it. So what does that mean? I can rejoice. I can just rest. I can believe that he's working on it in my behalf. Not in my time frame. You know how we are. We want it yesterday. It's like the microwave. We ought to push the button. Where is it? It's not done yet? Come on. You know, I'm thinking about something. You know, I think sometimes when God says things to us or we read things in the Bible, we're like, come on, God. I remember God spoke something to me when I was in my early 20s. And I remember this. I was laying on my bed. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I was praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And I was laying on my bed, and I just had my hands on my stomach like this, and I was just laying there praying softly in the Spirit. And it began to build inside of me. And it got so big, honestly, in the natural, this is how it felt. I felt like I was leaving my body. And I got a little nervous because I said, ooh, I feel like I'm leaving it. It was that spiritual. And what happened is a voice spoke in my room. Now, I know it was from the inside, but it sounded like the room was full. And he spoke authoritatively and said, I will use you this way. I didn't see the beginning of that start to happen for 25 years after that. And I'm thinking, I'm serious. When I heard it, I said, well, I need to go to Bible school because I'm going into the ministry and I need to go right now and get all that stuff and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know how we think? We think, we're trying to think out like, you know, I got this figured out. Well, it wasn't. That wasn't what he, because not long after that, Pastor Clinton walked up to me and he said, Sarah and I see you working in the ministry, and I knew it. Because, and I'm telling you, years before that happened, a lady walked up to me in 1981. I remember the date. It was November of 1981. And she said, you'll be in full-time ministry in 3 years. So I thought, well, I need to get busy. I'm going to Bible school. Now, mind you, God had already spoken to me prior to that. So I'm thinking, yeah, let's go. And not long after that, Pastor Clinton walked up to me 3 years to the month, November of 84. Now, I'm already comfortable. I'm uncomfortable. I had a very good job. I had a position pretty high up in the utility company where I was working. I was reporting to VPs and so forth. And so I had a good job, but I was not satisfied. And 3 years to the month, Pastor Clinton walked up to me and said that, we see you working in the ministry. And I thought, but I didn't think ministry was that. I thought ministry was this. Wrong. Wrong. Because I had no clue what ministry was. I thought what my thinking was. But I needed training for some time and also be a support. So, you know, we think we got it all figured out. We think we got it all figured out. We know nothing. We know nothing. All we need to do is have fellowship with God, follow His directions, and we'll get to where we're supposed to go. You are a spirit. That means you have you live in this earth, you're in this natural realm, but you're connected to God because He lives in you. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And so He speaks to us. We're connected to heaven and heaven's resources through Christ. And He lives in me. He speaks to me. His spirit guides each one of us. So all we need to do is follow His spirit, follow what He's telling us to do, and we will fulfill His desire for us. Whatever that is, you could be a housewife. And if you're running that home and that's what you're called to do, that could be pleasing to God. You see. So I think, you know, don't get off distracted on stuff that has no value. Don't do that. So we need to remember who He is. So let me jump here. I've been sharing just from my heart here some of these thoughts that I've had. But 1 John 5:4, very familiar scripture verse, it says, whatsoever, we could say whosoever is what? Born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. So it's your faith in God that's going to bring you to a place of overcoming all the things that you face. He's overcome the world. And what overcomes it? Our faith in Him, our faith in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're to do what? We're to walk by faith or live by faith, not by sight or what we see. We're to live by faith. That means, it didn't say it was going to be easy walking through life, and it's hard on the flesh. It can be hard on the mind and the soul. But the heart, if I have trust in God, I'm going to walk through this. I'm going to get through this. And I'm going to have victory in it. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified, what? With Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live what? I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for me. Now, here's a couple of significant, I call them significant verses, or you know, however you want to term them. But 2 Corinthians 4:17, let's take a quick look at this. 2 Corinthians 4:17. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation because it's more of what I would call a modern translation. So it reads a little easier. But the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 4:17. And I'll just wait a minute for you to get there, but it says here, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Verse 18. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we can't see will last forever. So all the stuff that we go through, it's temporary. You know, whether it lasts for a day, a month, a year, it's temporary, and it won't last forever. So we need to, what, fix your attention, your focus, your gaze on heavenly things, on His Word, on His Spirit, on Him. Focus your gaze on Him. Well, you don't understand. Well, then, you know, then He must have made some special arrangements for your situation. And he didn't understand that you were going to go through something so unique that it's not covered in the Word of God. Because He said, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So your faith in God will overcome any obstacle, any issue that you face in life, anything. Sometimes we're the ones that get sidetracked on things. Hey, we've all done it. I've done it. We all have. And the Holy Spirit is I just say He's so gentle with us. He'll say, get your eyes off that. Don't let it go. You know, I'm thinking about something years ago. I lent somebody. Somebody was going through a hard time. I lent them some money, a large amount of money, and they worked with me in the ministry here. And I felt, you know, down here. I said, I want to help them. And oh, he did me. He took the money and left and boogied on, and that was that. And boy, I wanted to put a hurting on him. I'm serious. I said, if I ever see him, he's going to get hurt. Because I had saved that money, and you know how we do. And I was grumbling and complaining, not to people, but just grumbling about it. And the Holy Spirit said, let it go. You know what my answer was, my response? I don't want to let it go. No. I said, no, I don't want, and I did, I said, no. I'm not letting that go. And, you know, Holy Spirit didn't say, you know, you should know better. You know how we would do. But he said, let it go. He just kept saying, let it go, let it go. And every time he said, I said, no, I don't want to. So finally, you know, duh. I just said, okay, I'll let it go. And I began to say, I forgive this person through grit teeth. I did. At first, it was grit teeth. I forgive this person. And then I would do it every day, and it got easier and easier. And after a few months, I let it go. I said, okay, I let it go. And it was interesting because not long after that, he showed up at the ministry at an event. And I didn't feel one way. I had no feeling one way or another. I shook his hand when I saw him. I said, bless you. Good to see you. Never said a thing. Because that's how God is. He don't rub your nose in your dirt. When he forgives you, he don't bring it up. And that's the same way. If we have his love and his nature, and we forgive, we let it go. And we don't bring it up. Because as far as we're concerned, it's done. I've forgiven them. And that's the way God is. And that's the way we should be. So, here's another scripture. Listen to this. Colossians 3:1. We're talking about focus. We're talking about keeping our attention and our focus on heavenly things. Colossians 3:1 and 2 and 3. I'm going to read it from a few different versions so we get this, but I'll read it from the King James. If ye then be what? Risen with Christ, set, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things, what? Which are above, not where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let me read that again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above. You know, when you read something that says set your affection on things above, that right there in an English language implies you have to do something, doesn't it? You could put, you set your affection on things above. And what does it say? Not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the New Living's translation, so a modern translation. It says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Now listen to this. Verse 2. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Listen to this translation. This is one of my favorites here. It's called the Lovett, L-O-V-V-E-T-T, Lovett translation. I love it. Listen to this. Shift your ambitions to heaven. Your master reigns there. That's the place to invest. Invest your time, invest your money, invest all that you have, your heart, your thinking. It says, shift your ambitions to heaven. Your master reigns there. That's the place to invest. What does that mean? Does that mean I just let go of all my earthly ambitions? No, it doesn't mean that. We all have ambitions. But whatever I'm pursuing, it should ultimately benefit the kingdom of God. If he gives you a better job, yeah, we enjoy things because we have more money to spend. We can invest in things here on the earth. But ultimately, if I get more money, then my ambition should be I'm going to give more money for the furtherance of the gospel, or I'm going to give more to help people, not just consume it upon my own desires. So that's what that's saying. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have ambitions to aspire to something. But whatever we get, what does the scripture say? Whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. Isn't that right? So whether we live or whether we die, we're his. And everything that we do should be towards him. We should have a heart towards his things. That's our focus. Our focus should be on heavenly things. Heavenly aspirations are our attention. This is Philippians 4:6. I like this. And I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. And Pastor Enrique, you know, pretty soon this year, I know we had planned to open up a Spanish-speaking church last year. It's going to be called RLCC Español, and we're starting it in Nanuet. And it's interesting how God has done all of this, but Pastor Enrique, who's a pastor, ordained, but he started to come to the church back in the 90s, early 90s. And he had been coming to church, and he has an interesting testimony. But his father was murdered. He was raised in Mexico, kind of northeast of Mexico City. And he said his mother died and his father was murdered, and he had nobody except some relatives. And his sister said, "Do you want to come back to New York with me?" And he said, he was 12 years old. He said, "Yeah, I want to go." He had nobody. So he said, like he does in his funny way, he said, "You know how us Mexicans are. You know how we cross the border." As Pastor Enrique. So he said, "You know, I came into the country illegally. And, you know, I went to grade school, high school, you know, started college. Then I met my future wife at college. And Pastor Sarah and Clinton married them and said, we'll marry you, but you need to go back to Mexico and get everything worked out." You know, meaning get all of the stuff in order, get everything legally taken care of. So he went back, and he started working in ministry, and he hooked up with some people that we have still support. And he was back there for 18 years. And he said that, and he was over, he was a senior pastor over Rhema Coyoacán. He went through Rhema Bible Training School down in Mexico, and they have about 7 or 8 training schools. And he was worked overseeing that, and then he was a senior pastor. And then he said he was having his tacos one day. He's sitting down and eating his tacos, and he said the Holy Spirit said to him, "Who is Lord?" And he said, "Well, you are Lord." And he said, "Will you do what I tell you to do?" He said, "Yes." He said, "It's over." And he said, "I kept eating." Eating my tacos. And he said, "It's over. You have to go back to New York." And he said, "Okay." And he moved his whole family, his children, everybody, came back to New York. And he called us one day. He said, "God's spoken to me to come back." He said, "I'd like to think about, you know, can I use some space in the church?" And we had been believing God to start a Spanish church. So it's interesting how God is working all of these things out. But he was sharing something about how his young daughter at the time was only a few months old, had this skin rash, and the baby was itching her skin, and it was just tearing up the skin. And he said he believed God, and he was trusting God, and he said he wasn't seeing anything happening with his child, and he's wondering, "God, what's going on? I'm believing you, I'm trusting you. Why isn't my baby being healed?" And he said when he was there, one of the ministers came from the United States, from Rhema, and he asked him, he said, "Look, I'm doing all this. Why am I not seeing the answer to my prayer?" And this minister said, "You need to rest. Because if you've prayed and asked God to heal your child, he's heard you. You need to just rest in that." And he said, "I went home, I went to sleep, I rested." And he said, "In that place of rest, God gave me the answer. He showed me what to do." He said, "The treatment that we were having my daughter receive at the hospital was aggravating it and causing the problem, and God showed me." So this is exactly what Philippians 4:6 says. Listen to this in the Passion Translation. You know, we know the scripture, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanks with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." That's the King James. Listen to this in the Passion. "Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life." Listen to this, verse 7. "Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So when you get, when you let your request be made known unto God, peace comes, and it says it transcends human understanding, then the answers will be made known to you. So when you've got your attention, wanted to bring this scripture out, when you've got your focus and your attention on something, and you're absorbed in something that's earthly, and you're not at peace, sometimes the answers don't come because you're not at peace. So if you've prayed and asked God for the answer, rest in the fact that he's heard you, he's working on it, and he'll give you the wisdom. He'll show you, if need be, if there's something you need to do. Anybody understand that? So we need to rest in the fact that God's working on something. Now, I'm going to share another scripture here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. This is a very familiar scripture verse. And I'm going to read it in the King James first and then the Passion Translation. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So when we talk about a natural man, that just means you know you're thinking naturally. But now listen to this in the Passion Translation. I'll tell you, I was shouting on this last night. Listen to this. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. I'm going to read it again. It says, someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of the Spirit of God, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discerned by the illumination of the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? That means that when we start to get our focus on earthly things and God begins to reveal some things to you, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So a lot of times we don't want to think, well, I'm not carnal minded, but if you are living on an earthly, if all your thoughts are focused towards earthly things and not heavenly things, you may not admit it, but that means we're carnal in our thinking. It's just the reality. We've all been there. I have. We've all been there. And so we can put ourselves in a position to not receive the illumination, the light, the revelation from the Spirit of God. What is Psalm 119, 130? Go over there and look at it. You may not remember it. It says, the entrance of his word does what? Bringeth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. So the more we stay in the word of God, if you read that verse in the Amplified, it says, it talks about the unfolding and revelation of God's word. So if we stay over in a thinking realm of I'm just earthly, I'm approaching everything from my own understanding, and I'm not absorbing or spending enough time in the Word of God, then we can find ourselves thinking about something purely from an earthly standpoint, my own human thinking, my own human reasoning, and not God's revelation and light. And that's what can happen if we get our focus off of spiritual things and we put them totally on earthly things and we get all absorbed in it, we can get, you know, out of peace and we can get upset about things that we have no need to get upset about. What does God say? I mean, look, just look at it. He said, those that plotted, I mean, you can go over and I think, what is it, Psalm 1 or I think it's Psalm 2. He said, he who sits in the heavens does what? He laughs. So all those that plot against him and his things, he sits in the heavens and laughs. He's not up there wringing his hands. So we need to just take stock of what we're thinking about. You know, when I think about these scripture verses and what we focus on, I'll give you just, we'll close with this here. I'll spend a minute here. But let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. When it talks about living on purely an earthly realm, or earthly level, and rejecting the revelations of the Spirit, go over to Ephesians 1. Well, actually, before you do that, go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And see, and if you read down through this, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but in verse 17, it says, the just shall live by faith. Then it talks about, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men. And it goes on and it talks about the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they have no excuse. Meaning people have no excuse because even if somebody didn't preach the gospel, the things that are visible display his glory. And so it goes on to say here, it said, look at verse 22, this is the King James, professing themselves to be wise, or verse 21, because that when they knew God, they did what? They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became what? Vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? Darkened. So here, when people, I'm not saying we're doing this, but if people live purely on an earthly, fleshly realm, carnal-minded realm, you can put yourself where your heart is darkened to the light and love and compassion of God, the revelations of the Spirit, and we don't have our focus on heavenly things. And it goes on to say, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And what it says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. And you can go on and read this. But what got me to thinking about this is that when our focus gets off, and this is something that I wrote down, it said, greater revelation in God's word causes us to have a greater dedication to him. And so greater revelation increases our love for him. You know, you wonder sometimes, you know, if you have a love for God and you have a passion for God and his things, and you see people that don't have the same love and passion, you go, why don't they? Because the revelation from God's word and your and their revelation of him is at a lower level. And it fuels their love for him. Your revelation of God fuels your desires towards him. So if we want to know sometimes why I don't have this same passion as somebody else, maybe it's time spent with him. Maybe you need to increase your time in the Word of God. Maybe you need to increase your time in fellowship and prayer, and it will do what? It has a direct effect on your dedication to him and your love for him. Just think about this. Use a simple example. If you're married, you know, you hear people that say after a long time of being married to a person, what have you heard people say? My love, I mean, I'm talking about a good marriage. They'll say, my love for them did what? It grew or it increased. Why? Because you spent time with them. You went through some things with them. You had life experience with them. And you grew in your what? Your knowledge of each other and appreciation of each other. And your love for them did what? Grew. Well, it's no different in spiritual things. That when we spend more time with God and we let the entrance of his word giveth light, when you spend more time in the word and the Holy Ghost reveals things, you're like, whoo, I love him more, because he begins to show you what he did for you and how much he loves you. And you love him more because of that. And if you love him more, what does it say? I get excited about this. But just, what does John say? I'm thinking about this. You know, there's so many scripture verses that come up. When the revelations of the word come to you, go over to John 15. I'll get to Ephesians 1. Go to John 15, staying connected to the vine. That's what it is. You're staying connected to the vine. You can read down through the verses. But in verse 7, if you what? Abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, that you shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you what? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then it goes on talking about, you know, that we're to love one another. So we begin, as we stay connected to him, if we stay connected through his word, more light comes, more revelation comes. And what does it say? As we obey it, the love of God is what? Perfected in us. It's brought to a place of maturity. We begin to see more of God's glory and his goodness. So our what we focus on, what we set our attention on, what we set our gaze on, distracts us away from the Word of God, distracts us away from the light and the power and the revelation of God. That's just exactly what the devil wants. He doesn't want you to know how good God is. He doesn't want you to know how much he loves you. But the devil wants you to get all wrapped up in all of the stuff that's going on in everything. And you think, what's going on? God, where are you? He loves you. And he wants you to know how much he loves you through the light of the glorious gospel. Oh, yes. Absolutely. And we get, you know, what does the scripture in Galatians say? Who hath bewitched you? You started off well, but now you've gotten back over into the law. Who bewitched you? Who bamboozled you? Who hoodwinked you? That's what that really means. So we need to get our sights back on the things of God. Yes, we have responsibilities. We all do. But, you know, at the beginning of any year, you know, people are all on this, you know, I'm going to make my New Year's resolution. And I'm not saying they're bad. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. You know, if there's things you need to make adjustments to. But the one resolution we need to make, remember, keeping it over spiritual. The one resolution that I'm going to make is that I'm going to grow in the things of God. I'm going to grow spiritually. That's my resolution. Because if I grow spiritually, it's going to affect everything in my life. Because Joshua 1:8 says, what is Joshua 1:8? It says, let not these things depart from out of your mouth. It says, meditate on them day and night, observe to do them. And what does it say? You will make your way prosperous. Some translations say it'll make you wise in the affairs of life. So if we get more over in the Word, it will affect everything you do. You'll begin to go, I ain't thinking about that. No, I'm not even wasting my time. You know how people say, it's not taking space up my brain. I'm not allowing it to take up space. I'm not letting it disrupt my peace. No, I refuse to think about that. I'm not doing it. And so we need to focus on things that are of eternal value. And when we do, everything will run better in your life. I mean, if it's running good now, great. It'll be better. It'll be better. Now let's go. I know I said we're going to finish, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Talking about light and revelation and what we focus on, what we think about, set our affections on. This is really, you know, just studying these few lessons out has helped me become more focused on how to approach things. Because some of us, you know, everybody deals with people. You interact with people. It can be family, it can be children, it can be a husband or a wife, it could be coworkers. You know, now we're doing more virtual stuff, but you're still going to deal with them, whether you're on Zoom or whether you're dealing with people. You're dealing, if you own a business, you're dealing with clientele. But it got me to thinking about this. What is the Ephesians prayer? Think about who Paul had to deal with. He had to deal with some stuff. Probably a lot worse than we had to. Right. And Barnabas. Yeah. But think about the first prayer. What did he talk about in this first prayer? In Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That what? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, what is verse 18? The eye. What does revelation affect? The eyes of your understanding. It says what? The eyes of your understanding what? Being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. That comes through revelation, light in the Word of God. So here's the thing. When you're dealing with people, whether it's your children, your offspring, whether it's your mate, and you don't see them with the same passion as you, or they don't see something you see, you do what? Pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him would be given to them. So what? So that the eyes of the revelation of that would do what? The eyes of their understanding would be what? Enlightened. Enlightened. That's what we all need. Now, whether you're praying that for somebody else or yourself, Brother Hagin said this for years. He said, pray this prayer for yourself for 6 months, every day, sometimes once or twice a day. You pray it every day for yourself. And he said, he did that, and he said, after 6 months, he said to his wife, what have I been preaching? He said, ooh, because light started to increase. God was answering his prayer. More revelation. He'd open up the word and see something he hadn't seen before. And he'd already been preaching for 10 or 11, 12 years. So this is something that we need to do more of, and we're right now, I know Pastor Greg and I are trying to get these little cards that have Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 already pre-printed on the cards. We're just going to hand them to you, give them out. So there's what? No excuse. I'm going to give them to you, and you pray that prayer for yourself every day. Pray for yourself every day. Stick it on the refrigerator. Put it on your mirror. Put it on something. And you carry it around with you, and you pray that prayer for yourself, and I guarantee if you do that, it'll change. It'll change. Something, I'll just close with this, something that, and I shared it with Pastor Greg, I tell you, the Holy Ghost helps us, even in our own forgetfulness. But there were hands laid on Pastor Greg and I in 2012, 8 years ago. And when Kevin and Ann Durant were here, the Durants, in 2012, they were in Nanuet. They traveled with Brother Hagin, so I trust them. And Kevin said some things. And Ann Durant said some things, and I had forgotten about it. And the Holy Ghost, over a month ago, said, go out and look that up. It's out on the website. The video's out there. It's out there. I'm looking at it, and I go, oh. And that was the end of that. And I put it away. And I said, yeah, I remember that. You know how the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He just said, go look at it. Some of us are a little slow at catching on. And so I said, yeah, I remember that. That was before Thanksgiving, way before Thanksgiving. Then it came up again. He said, go out and look at it again. So I looked at it and I said, yeah, I remember that. And about 2 weeks ago, he said, go look at it again. and I backed it up from where I was, and she spoke these words over us. You have been desiring for double. Double the wisdom, double the anointing, and it's right for you. And I forgot about it. And I said, I repent, because it says in the scripture, Paul wrote about Timothy, said, neglect not the gift that is in you through the laying on of hands. And sometimes you can have things imparted to you and you forget through neglect. You just forget about it. At the time, you're like, yeah, I received that. But what are you doing with it every day? And so if you've had words spoken or you've had things imparted into your life, even something God may have revealed to you, then what I said is, I said, okay, Holy Ghost, you revealed it. You said it three times to me. And I said, every day, I am confessing this prayer, this Ephesians 1 prayer, for double the wisdom. What do I mean by double? Double the wisdom that the founding pastors had. Double the insight, double the revelation, double the anointing that rested upon them because of the work that's going to be raised up. And I believe that I've received that. And it was right, that was the Holy Ghost. You can go out and look at it yourself. So I said, okay. So when the Holy Ghost reveals something to you, this is what I go back and I say, if you are living on a purely human thinking level, you will reject the revelations of the Spirit. So when the Holy Ghost reveals something to you, don't get over into your carnal thing and say, I know that. You receive it, you make the adjustment, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed that. I'm making an adjustment because you are revealing it to me. You thought enough of me to reveal it to me. I'll close with this statement. If you look it up in the parable of the sower in Luke, it talks about the sower sowing the seed. And there's only one, you know, in Matthew and the Gospels, I believe it's only in Luke where it says the seed was trampled on the ground. If you look up that word trampled in the Greek, it means to reject it, to disdain it, to reject the seed. So when we reject or we push away God's word and his light, we're pushing away his help and the revelations. And so I'm sharing all of this that let us not get so focused on earthly things that we don't hear him, we don't embrace his things and embrace the word of God and embrace his love and his comfort for us. Don't get so way over here that you forget him. Everybody understand where I'm coming from? I'm trying to share some thoughts. But there's so much going on, you know, even in, you know, I think about it, even in society, when you think about all the stuff that has happened in this past year, there's a lot. I'm not saying that some of it shouldn't be addressed and fixed, but we can get so wrapped up in it that it causes us to get our sights off of and distracted from him. And that's not good. That's not good at all. So I just trust that we all do some kind of evaluation of where we are and set your affections on things above. Set your heavenly affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for the revelation and insight of your word. Thank you for helping us and loving us. Thank you for that, Father. And we commit to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. We're so grateful for your compassion and love towards us. And we thank you, Father, that we purpose to grow in the things of God. And we purpose to let the light of your word shine in into our hearts and reveal and shine in and make the necessary correction. Show us the right way, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just before we receive our offering, I just, you know, we always do. I know most people here, but we do it just for the purpose of not knowing who may be here, who's coming and visiting. But those that may not know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, maybe you did, and maybe you got away from it, and you need to come back to him, you know, just like the prodigal son. But let's say this simple prayer, you know, he came to redeem us. He came, how God, John 3:16, how God did what? So greatly loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him from your heart shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I come to you humbly, and I believe that you sent your only begotten Son here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I believe that Jesus took my sins to hell, and when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead, and I now receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me. And so, by my own words, I confess that I am saved. Now, if you said that and you meant it, it just means Romans 10:9-10, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and you confess with your mouth that he was raised from the dead, the scripture says you'll be saved. So if you do that or have done that or just did that, it just means that you've become born again. Your spirit was instantly changed and become brand new. So let us know if you have, and we'll give you some information as to who you've become in Christ and rejoice with you. Praise God.